The History Keepers, Night Ship to China, written by Damian Dibben and read by Simon Shepherd.
Chapter 1. The Sensational Secret Service. The day that death came to the Mont Saint-Michel had begun as the most festive the castle had ever seen. It was a hot June afternoon, and a wedding was due to take place between two agents of the History Keeper's Secret Service. The sky was cloudless, the sea like glass, the mount festooned with scented flowers. On a lawn at the edge of the Atlantic, neat rows of chairs had been set out for the ceremony, and the guests, almost 100 of them, from different corners of history, were now busy assembling, here in 1820, chatting in many languages. Miriam Jones urgently threaded her way through the crowd. She wore a giant puffball gown and a towering headpiece of exotic fruits and palm leaves. "Have you seen Jake? Jake, anyone?" She received nothing but shakes of heads and shrugs. "He's supposed to be an usher," she sighed irritably.
"Someone's making a hullabaloo in the fencing chamber," a deep-voiced man volunteered. "Perhaps it's him."
He was dressed as a Crusader knight and sipping a champagne cocktail. Miriam smiled curtly, turned on her heel and swept towards an outbuilding where agents practiced combat and sword technique. As she approached, she heard music booming out at full volume, Wagner's Ride of the Valkyries. It was certainly Jake in there. He had been listening to this feverish piece of opera over and over for weeks. She flushed with irritation and, holding onto her hat, flew inside. The music was ear-shattering. It came from an old phonograph and was amplified through speakers. Of course, these inventions had been imported from a later time than 1820, but the commander, a keen musician herself, allowed restricted use of them. On the far side of the room, a 15-year-old boy, dressed only in breeches and a loose shirt, was practicing sword fighting with a mechanical warrior. His opponent had a solid metal body and 8 robotic arms, each lunging, thrusting and slicing at lightning speed. The boy was riposting at the same frantic pace, making it appear as if he had 8 arms himself. The whole operation was being witnessed by a dog, a chunky mastiff, whose eyes followed every movement his master made.
"Jake!"
Miriam shouted over the racket of the Valkyries. She flew over to the phonograph and swung the needle off the record with a piercing screech. Silence at last.
"Jake!"
The dog's ears went back. The boy finally turned round.
"Mum, I didn't see you there."
Miriam did a double take. Jake was growing at such a rate, he seemed more adult every time she looked. He'd turned 15 3 months ago, and had shot up several inches even since then.
"Is everything all right?"
he asked as the machine carried on slicing and lunging behind him.
"No, everything is not all right," his mother began. "Your aunt is getting married in 5 minutes' time. You're an usher, and you're not even dressed. Jake, watch out!"
she shrieked, as a blade went spearing towards his back. He dodged it breezily.
"I hate that machine. It gives me the heebie-jeebies."
She pushed a lever to switch it off. One by one, its various arms fell still.
"Wedding. Now."
She clicked her fingers and bustled out. Jake's clothes were laid out on a wooden horse. Rose Jones, a lifelong lover of all things Indian, had chosen a Mughal Empire theme for the nuptials, and the ushers had been given traditional Indian uniforms to wear. Knee-length jackets and silk turbans. Jake hurriedly put his on. His aunt was marrying Jupiter's Cole. It had come as a total surprise to everyone when they made the announcement. For decades, they had apparently hated each other, he being fussy and austere, she hot-headed and fun-loving. But on their last mission together, a trip to ancient Rome in which Jake had been involved, things suddenly changed.